Morning, today's daf is Tes Vav. We're really, again, going off the Mishnah on the top of Yedaleh Amar Aleph, and the Mishnah makes a basic distinction between Kedushas Damim versus Kedushas Hagav. Something only has Kedushas Damim, it only has value Kedusha, so as a result of that, it is it's redeemable. And not only is it redeemable, but once you redeem it, it goes to zero. Meaning it's chulin ba'alma, it's just a regular chulin animal. Masha'inkein, if it has kedusha segufet, if it has actual sanctity, that it was going to go on the mizbech, and then it developed a blemish, and now you redeem it, so it has psul, it's what's called psule hamukdashin. It has residual kedusha, and consequently there are going to be restrictions regarding such an animal. Okay, that's the basic distinction of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah went through a number of halachas. Now, we're learning b'chorus right now, it sounds like we're just having a shir klali, general shir of karbanos. And the answer is yes. We are having a general discussion of karbanos. It came up in the Mishnah because the Mishnah, one of the points that the Mishnah made regarding the distinction between the two, is that when it comes to when it comes to Bechor and Meiser, by them, even if it has a blemish, it's still going to have kedusha. So it comes up as one of the exceptions to the rule. And okay, so that's why it came up here. But generally speaking, that's the rule. If it has a mum, if it has a blemish, and you're makdish it and you sanctify it, only has kedushas damim. But if you are makdish it before it had a blemish and then it developed a blemish, so now you can redeem it, but it's restricted. Now, what are those restrictions? You remember back in the Mishnah. So your basic restrictions is the only thing is you can do is you can eat it. You can't do much else with it. You can't do giza. You can't do you can't milk it. It's basically it's dedicated just to eating. That's basically it, and it's very clear from the psukim that that's true as well. Meaning, if we could look at the psukim inside for just a moment, we're going to come back to these psukim over the course of this morning. Should be familiar. Parshas Re'e, Perek Yud Beis. It starts the pasuk Tezvav. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach va'achalta basar. Rashi points out over here on this pasuk Tezvav. Ba'meh hakosav medaber. What are we talking about? Meaning, it's interesting, the Torah doesn't, even though the Torah gets right into the discussion of Psula HaMukdashim, the Torah doesn't tell us, oh, by the way, we're talking about Psula HaMukdashim. It just goes right into it. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'achalta basar. You're going to eat meat. So Rashi says, we're not talking about basar taiva. We're not talking about the meat that you and I eat in our backyards or in our houses. Right? Rashi says, b'meh kasav medabi. This is Rashi and Chumash. Im b'basar taiva lahatira lahem b'lo hakrav v'imurim. We already have a pasuk later on that says that you're allowed to eat basar tava. So later on, pasuk kaf in the same parak. Ve'amarta ochla basar b'meza medaber b'kachim shenafal behemom sheyiftu v'yochla b'chol makom. Rather, what the Torah is referring to over here is that you have a karban that had a blemish. You redeem the animal, and now you can eat it anywhere you want. You're not restricted. Meaning, you might have thought, right, let's go through the thought process. It was a karban. Now I can't offer it on the mizbech because it has a blemish. Okay, but as a karban, where was I allowed to eat it? In Yerushalayim, assuming it's a shlamim, right? And I could not take it outside of Yerushalayim. What the Torah is telling you is that you could eat it anywhere you want. You don't have to be in Yerushalayim. Yachlu yiftu al mum over tamalama rak. And Rashi goes on to say, what if it's just a passing blemish? Meaning it'll heal. You don't have an ability to redeem it. Okay? Again, we'll come back to these psukim later on this morning. These psukim really are the cornerstone of our sugya. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. We're on Yudal Amud Beis. We're at the bottom of the Amud. Im Mesu Yiftu. No, not yet. Ein Osin Temura. Okay. Remember, divide the Mishnah in half. The first half of the Mishnah is talking about where it had a blemish before you were Maktishit, which means it only has Kedusha's Damim. Okay, ain't osim tamura my time and I'm a kara lo yachlifen of a lo yamir. Hashta rabbi tov amart lo tov rami baye. Ela tov mi ikaro osa tamura. Rami ikaro ain't osa tamura. Okay, if it's tov mi ikaro, meaning if it was good, meaning not blemished, that can affect tamura. Rami ikaro, but if it was bad from the beginning, bad meaning it had a blemish before you were makdish it. It's not a karban. It's just kedusha's damim. It just has value kedusha, but it doesn't have any intrinsic kedusha to it, so it can't affect tamura. Good. Im mesu yiftu. Now, This animal dies. Again, we're in the first half of the Mishnah. Only Kedusha's Damim. So it dies, so redeem it. Fine. Not a problem.
You can do what with it? Just feed it to animals.
And you'll feed it to your animals. Now, I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav.
Or use the skin.
Right, the skin as well. Yeah. Blood will be fertilizer. Chalev will use for oil. Usages. I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav. Now, the next, I'd say about 15 lines of Gemara really is a discussion at the end of Masechta Temura. That's correct. And when we get to the end of Temura, so you'll appreciate all this a lot better, there is a three-way machlokas, okay, plus, this is a big one, I got it all outlined. It's a three-way machlokas plus on that third position, which we'll call the Chachamim, a two-way machlokas in terms of when you can redeem kachim. Okay. The Torah describes that when you redeem kachim, there has to be some sort of process of ha'amada v'harach. The Torah says, v'ha'amid v'ha'arich. You'll stand the animal up, and you'll be ma'arich, and then you'll figure out how much its value is. Right? V'ha'amid v'ha'arich. And what is up open for a debate, a major debate is, this is talking about what? Karbanos, Kedushas Damim, right, what we'll call Kedushas Berek Habayis, both, one over the other. So there's a lot of opinions to go around. The Machlokas, by the way, is between who are the Tanayim. Number one is Rabbi Shimon. Number two is Tana de Bei Levi. Okay, not usually we don't have a Braisa, but it's quoted sometimes, Tana de Bei Levi. And finally, the third opinion is the Chachamim. And within the Chachamim is a further sub Machlokas, Amarayim, between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Again, this isn't even the primary source of this discussion. The Gemara at the end of Tamur discusses this in depth. However, just limited to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if you have an animal that doesn't have Kedushas Aguf, the blemish was there, and then I sanctified it, which means it's only Kedushas Damim, so now if it dies, I could redeem it. Now, the Hamid V'Herich requires me to stand the animal up, but it's got to stand on its own, right? It can't prop up a dead animal. That doesn't count. Hamid v'herich means you have to stand on its own. So the Gemara's reaction to our Mishnah, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, second wide line on the bottom of Yudal Amud Beis, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. The Amar Kachim is Bech, Hayu Bechla Hamadavaracha, Kachim Bedekabayis, Hayu Bechla Hamadavaracha. He says that this requirement of Hamid v'herich is only by Karbanos. The first half of our Mishnah is not talking about a carbon. First half of our Mishnah is only talking about Kedushas Berek Habayis, because it had the mum before you were Makdish it. Okay? So there's no requirement of Vehemid Veherich, which means that when the animal dies, you can redeem it. Only Kedushas Berek Habayis. Did not want to learn the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kutcha Berek Habayis, Imesu Yiftu. Omode Rabbi Shimon, Baba Mum Ikaro, Shinifte. So my time, Adama Kra Osa, Osalamote Baba Mum Ikaro. Bamum ikar as kedushas damim, not kedushas aguf. Therefore, you can redeem it. Ava chachamim marmi, but the chachamim say now. Rashi says, don't be confused, right? Because you might have thought now that the Gemara is reverting to the position of the chachamim again, the one that I alluded to earlier. Rashi says, now where are you going to find Rashi? Not in this page. Rashi, for whatever reason, is written on the next page. Rashi writes ava chachamim lav hanach rabbanan depliga la de Rabbi Shimon b'maseches Temura. This is not the opinion of the Chachamim. This is Tana de Belevi, so this is what we'll call the second opinion amongst the Tanaim. That if this animal dies, you have to bury the animal. No opportunity to redeem it. And the Gemara says, that's who it is. This Chachamim is Tana de Belevi, Tana de Belevi, Hakol Hayu Bechla Hamada V'Haracha. Everything is in the parsha of Hamada V'Haracha, meaning when you chart it, according to Tana de Bei Levi, birds, kedushas aguf, kedushas berek habayis, everything requires Hamada V'Haracha. Ve'afilu ba'mom ikar v'chein Tana de Bei Levi b'masisei. In fact, in his brisa says the same thing. Afilu chaya, afilu of, even a chaya. That's amazing. Meaning, a chaya, when you're makdish a chaya, It's not a carbon. It never was a carbon. It's kedushas bet kabayis. It only has it only has value, value kedusha, not intrinsic kedusha. But still, the Tana de Beilevi is of the position: any animal that you're going to redeem, even if it's not a carbon, even if only has kedushas bet kabayis, nevertheless has got to stand on its own. Vehemid veherich. V'haksiv osa latana de Beilevi. Kasha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's some limitation that the Torah describes. So the Gemara says, yeah, I don't know what Tana de Beilevi is going to do with that limitation. Kasha. The Gemara says, good question. So the Gemara says, okay, we now know here are two extreme positions. Number one is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it only has Kedushas Bet HaKabayis, you could redeem it. And we know on the other extreme is Tana de Beilevi, who says that everything needs to stand on its own in order to be redeemed, even Kedushas Bet HaKabayis. So our Mishnah is not going like Tana de Beilevi.
Rabbi Shimon says that even if it's bound before you Kedush it, it has to stand up.
It has to. No, you could redeem. That could be redeemed as well.
Rabbi Shimon says two things could be redeemed: Bet HaKabayis and an animal that was bound before it.
Correct, correct. That also could be redeemed. So now we have our two extreme positions. We know our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. We know our Mishnah is not going like Tana de Beilevi. But there is a third position, which is the position of the Chachamim. And as I already pointed out, we're not 100% sure what the Chachamim say. It's a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon and Reish Lakish, what the Chachamim say. So, Aval Rabbanon de Pliga Aleh de Rabbi Shimon, my Hachanami de Mesu Yiftu. So the Gemara says, what's his position? That you can redeem it? Ihachi. So then, my only issue is, says the Gemara, Zudev Rabbi Shimon Machlu Kaso Mi Ba'ele. What the Rav Yehuda Marav statement should have been that opened up our daf this morning is not that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon and his group, right? The law firm of Rabbi Shimon and his group, Mi Ba'ele. So Amre Rav Ke Rabbi Shimon Belakish Da Amar. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why Rav didn't say that. Rav didn't say that because Rav subscribes to Reish Lakish, which is the Amar. Li Rabbanon, Kache Berekabayis, Hayu Bechlal Hamada Varacha. Kache Mizbech, Lo Hayu Bechlal Hamada Varacha. Distinction. Kache Berekabayis does not need to stand up on its own. Kache Mizbech does need to stand up. V'lo Mituk Masnitsin Karabanon, Dekani Seifa, Imesu Yikbaru. And here's the problem. The problem is the second half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah is talking about where you were makdish it, and then it got a blemish, which means that at one point in time now it was a karbon. According to Reish Lakish, kachim mizbeach do not need to stand up. Kachim mizbeach can be redeemed, if it develops a blemish, and it doesn't need to stand up. So the problem with assigning our Mishnah like the Chachamim is that the second half of the Mishnah won't conform to the opinion of the Chachamim according to Reish Lakish. Now, if all that was a lot of information, so play it back. Meaning, the sentence is correct, but it is a lot of information. Now, Mimai Daha Mesu Yikbaru. So, a lot of information. So, mimai da hametsu yikbaru mishum da bai hamad varachu dilma mishum dein poidim as a kashal machilin leklavim hu. So the Gemara says maybe there's another consideration of our Mishnah, which is the following. As we'll see on the bottom of this amud, there is a debate. Can I redeem psule hamukdashim if all that's going to happen is that a dog is going to eat it? So it's subject to a debate. Right? Intuitively, you understand that, in other words, this animal was a carbon, was qualified as a carbon. And then it got a blemish. And the Torah says, okay, here's what you're allowed to do. You can redeem it now so that you can eat it. But it was supposed to be a karbon, meaning it had kedusha. There's an element of kavod over here. And now what's going to happen? The fate of this animal now is that you're going to redeem it just for the simple purpose that a dog's going to eat it? Again, for lack of better terminology, pasnished. It's just not appropriate. So there is that opinion. Now, it happens to be not everyone agrees to that opinion, and you'll see that later on this morning. But there is that opinion. Maybe the only consideration of our Mishnah is that you can't redeem it simply because nothing to do with Hamada Vaharacha. Leave that out of the whole discussion. Simply, we don't want to redeem a carbon, or in this case, a disqualified carbon, just so that your dog can eat it. Can he eat this? Interesting. I don't know. I don't know. Amri im kain nisne im naasu trefa yikbiru. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, if that was what the Mishnah is trying to teach us, the Mishnah would have illustrated with a much simpler scenario, which would be, what if the animal became a trefa? Not that it died, but what if it became a trefa? Good. Now, I won't be able to eat it because it's a trefa, but I could redeem it and have my dog eat it, and we don't even have to talk about hamad v'arach as being an issue because the animal's still alive and the animal could still stand on its own. So if the Mishnah only wanted to teach us this halacha of don't feed suleh hamukdashim to your dogs, could have just given a simple example of trefa. The ibay sem al olam rav karev yochanan sfirle utani zu divrei rabbi shimon machlu kaso. Or the Gemara says, we could do it like this. When Rav opened up his statement and says, Amrish is going like Rabbi Shimon, it could be that he subscribes to the Rabbi Yochanan version of the Chachamim, which would then mean that our Mishnah subscribes to the position of the Chachamim, and will modify Rav's statement. When Rav says, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon, he means, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shimon and his group, Umachlu Kaso, right? And his disputants, who in this case would be the Chachamim, they could also fit into our Mishnah as well. Okay. That takes us through the first half of our Mishnah. So again, the basic idea in the first half of our Mishnah is that if the animal has a blemish on it, mum kavua, and then you sanctify it, your makdashit, it only has kedushas damim. It only has value kedusha. So that when you redeem it, back to zero. The animal's just as chulin as it was before you were makdashit. Its value is only kadosh, not it itself. Good. Now we move on to the second half of the Mishnah, the main part of today's daf, which is, what if you're makdish it first, and then it develops a blemish? So this takes us on to now a very classic discussion of the Gemara. This is what we're going to call psule hamukdashin, an animal that has residual kedusha. The Gemara starts off, avakana mekdesh manan imila detan rabbanan tzvi ma tzvi pater. Now, again, before we just run into the Gemara, understand what's going on over here. I pointed to two psukim that really talk about psula hamukdashim. Again, parshas Re'eh, perikud beis, pasuk tezvav, and pasuk tezayin. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha, tizbach v'achalta basar. Anywhere you want, you could shech the animal, you can eat the meat. Again, Rashi points out, this is psula hamukdashim. Kevirchas Hashem lakecha, asher nasan lecha, b'chol sharecha, hatameh v'hator yochlenu, katzvi v'cha'ayal. You can sit down and eat it, Tame and Tahor together. Now remember, what's the simple pshat in the pasuk? What's the Torah saying? Pure and impure person together. This was a karban. Can an impure person eat a karban? The answer is absolutely not. It's in the Torah. For someone who's tame to eat a karban, right? The only exception would be karban Pesach, right? When the majority of the people are tame. Otherwise, tame person can't eat a karban. And what the Torah is saying is that once it's redeemed, meaning this was a karban, it then developed a blemish, you now redeemed it, so you can eat it. First of all, you don't have to eat in the base of Mikdash, you can eat wherever you want. Secondly, you don't have to eat in a state of Tahara. You can eat it in a state of Tumah. Good. But then the Torah says, you know what it's like? It's like Tzviva Ayal. Now don't get confused, Ayal and Ayal. Ayal's a ram, right? Replacement of Yitzchak. Right. Ayal is not a lamb. Okay, in the English over here, it says heart. I don't know what that is. Okay, huh? Bambi. Perfect. Okay, so it's a chaya, okay. Another type of deer. Okay, rak hadam lo. Now let me just go one more pasuk. Rak hadam lo sochelu. Don't eat the blood of such animal. The Gemara later on is going to ask the obvious question. You really thought you were allowed to eat the blood? That's strange. Right, Raka Adam lo sochelu al ha'aretz tishpachenu kamayim. Make sure to pour that blood on the ground as if it's water. Okay. Good. Okay. Two psukim that deal with it. Well, the Gemara.
Chai's blood you're supposed to cover.
Chai's blood you're supposed to cover. Right. So is there a mitzvah of kisu adam? Look, here's basically what the Gemara is going to be discussing for almost an amud, which is that you have these psuli hamukdashim. You understand that this is a behema. Has to be. The only way it was a karban to begin with is because it was a behema. It was cattle, it was sheep, it was goat, right? It was a behema. And then the Torah says, but once it develops a blemish, and once I redeem it, it's katzvi v'cha'ayal. Treat it like a chaya. Which the Gemara later on, now over this next Amud, is basically going to say, really? We're going to now, it converted? It went through some sort of conversion process? It turned from being a behema now to a chaya. That's not the Torah's point, but obviously we have to understand what is the Torah's point. So here we go now. We start with the Gemara Menahani Mili, Tana Rabbanan. So it's a braisa, tzvi. So first we compare it to a tzvi, a deer. Matzvi patur mina b'chora, apsul hamukdashin patur mina b'chora. Okay. Number one, psule hamukdashin. This antler, it's a female animal, and after you redeem it, it gets pregnant and it gives birth. Firstborn son, no mitzvah b'chora. How do I know that? Because the Torah compares it to tzvi. Tzvi is a chaya. There's no kedushas b'chor by a chaya. It's only by a behema. So yes, in the halacha of b'chor, this animal is like a chaya. Otzi ani es b'chor v'lo otzi es matanos. Have a matanos, right? Every behema that you shecht, you need to give pieces of that animal to a kohen. Zor l'chai v'keva. Spent the 10th parak of Chulin talking about this mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but now that we have our psule hamukdashin, the Torah compares it to a tzvi, which is a chaya. You know, there's no mitzvah of matanos when it comes to chaya. So here also, tamalomer ayal. Ma ayal patur min ha-bechora, umin ha-matanos, apsule hamukdashin p'turim min ha-bechora, umin ha-mataros. That's why the Torah gives us a second example. Tzvi v'cha ayal. The first one is to teach us that it's exempt from Bechor, just like a tzvi is. And the second one is to teach us that exempt from matanos, just like ayal is. So, ima tzvi v'ayal chalban, chalban mutter, apsul ha-mukdash and chalban mutter. Now the Gemara is going to go, okay, let's keep going. Keep comparing. Just like tzvi v'ayal, you're allowed to eat the chalav of such animal. So too, these psul ha-mukdashim, you're allowed to eat the chalav tamalomar, ach, chalak. The Torah says, ach, ach is coming to be mechalik, divide. Not the comparison does not go all the way. Okay. Good. Amar. Okay. Gemar does what it does best. Dissect the braisa. Otsias a bechor v'lo otsias a matanos maishna. Gemar has a simple question. We first started off by saying that it doesn't have kedushas bechor because of its comparison to tzvi. How about matanos? Oh, we need the second animal. Why do we stop? Meaning, why don't we just explain that it's exempt from Bechor and it's exempt from matanos, all from the word tzvi? So the Gemara explains, here's the structure. Maishna otzias ha-bechor she'ein shava b'kol, v'lo otzias ha-matanos she'shavas b'kol. If we're going to start excluding things from this animal, we're going to start excluding things that don't apply to every single animal. Bechor doesn't apply to everything, right? In order for there to be a Bechor, that first animal that comes out it doesn't apply to birds. It has to be male. The animal that comes out has to be male. If that animal gives birth to a female first, there's no Kedushas Bechor. Next animal that comes out, even if it's a boy, it's not going to be a Bechor. So in other words, I'll start excluding halachos that are not universal. But matanos apply universally. All behemoths are subject to the mitzvah of matanos. So tamalomer ayal. So that's why I need ayal to come and tell me that we're going to exclude matanos as well. Amale repapa labai matziva ayal ein osav es bano noheg bahem apsula hamukdashim ein osav es bano noheg bahen. Little gears to change. So good. So if we're comparing it to chaya, you know the iser in the Torah of osav es bano doesn't apply to chaya. The iser of osav es bano is contextually placed only by behema. It only applies to behema. So amale lamai medamis lehu. Ila chulin osav es bano noheg bo. The ila kachim osav es bano noheg bo. So he says, look, psula hamukdashim, perhaps you're confused, right? Perhaps. Meaning, is it a karban or is it chulin? Somewhere in the middle, right? Was a karban, disqualified, so now I redeemed it, but it still has some kedusha.
It's got kedusha, but it's fairly high level of kedusha.
it had a very high level of Kedusha. Now I redeemed it, which now means that it still has some residual Kedusha. So you don't know what to compare it to. But look, even in your confusion, you don't know what to compare it to. But you know, if it's a carbon, oso vespano applies to carbonos. If it's chulin, oso vespano applies to chulin. So even if you don't know what it is, either way, oso vespano is going to apply. So amalei hachi gabe chabonami nema hachi lamayim adamislehu ila chulin chabonaser v'ila kashin chabonaser. So the Gemara says, well, that's such a lovely argument. Why didn't you give me that argument 5 lines ago in the Gemara? Why didn't you just simply say, I asked you the question, well, let's eat the chalev. And why don't you simply say, well, you know, chalev of carbon is aser. You know, chalev of chulin is aser. Oh, so it's going to be aser. So, elalav, mi amart ach velo chaban, emanami ach velo eso vespano. So, you know what? The ach, which came to limit and said, even though the Torah just compared it to tziva ayal, ach, meaning not, we're not going to compare it all the way. The iser of chalev still is going to apply. And I'll say the same thing by osav espano. Osav espano doesn't apply to achaya. True. But ach. We're going to limit the comparison between our psula hamukdashin and our chayos. Meaning that the iser is still going to apply. Rava amar ach la osav espano hu da'asa v'chelbo midamun afka. Rava has a different approach. Same conclusion, different approach. Rava says like this. Look, I agree that there's a limitation in the Torah. The Torah instructs us that we compare it to tzviva ayal, but ach, not all the way, only some of the way. Good. So, and it, we're going to say with that ach is coming to tell us that the isra vosav espano does in fact apply to psul and hamukdashim, unlike tzviva ayal. What about the fact that you can't eat the chalev? That comes from the next pasuk, right? Which I already mentioned. Right, read the next pasuk. Rak hadam lo sochelu. Don't eat the blood of psula amugdashim ala aris tishpachenu kamayim. On the ground, pour it on the ground. You know what blood is? Blood is code. Blood doesn't mean blood over here. Blood means chelev. Really? Huh? So v'chabom midamo nafka dechsi rak hadam lo sochel my damo, because the Gemara sets it up like this. When the Torah says, don't eat the blood, what do you think that means? You really think that means blood? Elam adama mamash lo yehela daman detzviva ayal. Atu daman detzviva ayal mishare? So let's even take the comparison literally. Let's even say psule hamukdashin is chaya. You're not allowed to eat the blood of chaya. Just as prohibited as eating the blood of behemoth. So ela damo chabo. So you know what dam means? Dam is code for chalev. So the Gemara says, "V'lichtov rachmana chalbo." So if that's what the Torah is interested in doing for us, talk about a confusing daf. If that's what the Torah is interested in doing for us, so why doesn't the Torah give it to us straight? Okay, we can handle it. Don't eat. I'm sure we can handle it. Don't eat the chalev of psule hamukdashin. Ikas rachmana chalev havamina haniyak keshav hanikra. Because had the Torah said the word chalev, I would have balanced. Meaning, I understand, I'm not allowed to eat the chalev. But we did make a comparison between psula hamukdashin and chaya. And maybe what we would have done then is create some sort of balance between the iser and the comparison. Because I would have said like this. Look, there's a hekesh, there's a comparison between psula hamukdashin and tzviva ayal. Oh, I know why. Because if I eat the chalev, there's no iser karis. The ahanikra, I'm sorry, lemutim karis, the chi kasav karis, a ochel chalev behema udichsiv, shenemar ki ko ochel chalev min a behema, vahanikra, lemekam a lab a lab a alma. On the other hand, the pasuk's coming to tell me that at least it's a lav, meaning at most, I should say, at most it's a lav, it's not an iser karis. So the Torah, had it said chalev, I may have come to some sort of compromised position. Where, I know I'm not allowed to eat it, but it's not like real achilas chalev. When I say real, I mean with the full punishment of achilas chalev. What do you normally get punished when you eat chalev? Kares. What if I ate chalev of psula hamukdashin? If had the Torah said the word chalev instead of dam, I know I wouldn't be allowed to eat it, but not kares, just malchus. Now, practically speaking, what difference does that make? Meaning, All right. In other words, lahachi afke rechmane b'lashon damo, lama lecha madama b'kares, afcha ba b'kares. So the Torah, even though the Torah is teaching us about chelev, but uses dam as the code word to tell us that it's bona fide iser. It's still just as usser as eating regular chelev, meaning iser kares.
So, Rabbi, a really simple question. That word damo, we don't use it for any other drush in this one particular pasuk, in any other, to learn out any other.
Well, this is what Rava would do. This is what Rav is using it for. Fair to ask, I'll tell you this. So Rav Papa, who disagreed, Rav Papa, who said that the chelev is learned out from the ach. So what's Rav Papa going to do with the damo?
They don't always tell you that.
Just read damo, right? But that damo, what does damo have to be used? Anything else?
Yeah. But then you're stuck with Rav's question. Rav's question is, yeah, why add that over here? What else would I have thought? Right. Allah Tishbach. Agreed. Okay. Yeah, I mean Rashi does address it on Chumash a little bit. I'm just reading Rashi on Chumash. Rak hadam lo sochlenu lo sochelu af api shamarti she'en lecha bo zrikas dam b'mizbeach lo sochlenu. Meaning, you might have thought, look, what was supposed to happen with this blood? Supposed to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So now it's not going there. I don't know, you may have thought you could have eaten it. And that's
that might be what Rav Papa said.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know if that's a strong Havamina. All right, anyway, but Rashi and Chumash says it. Okay. Good. Afcha ba b'karis. V'hatana ach v'lo chal b'kamar. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, that's how do we know that you're not allowed to eat the chelev? So it's coded with the word dam. The Gemara says, yeah, but the Tana learns ach v'lo chal bo kamar. The Tana sounds like he's deriving it from the word ach achi kamar. Ilu lo namar damo hayisu amar ach v'lo chal bo. Ach shesh namar damo la osav esbano hu da'asa. It's like philosophy, right? Had the Torah not said, right? Had the Torah not said, damo. So I would have said it's okay to eat the chelev, but now that the Torah says damo, so I know that the ach is coming for the purposes of osa ve'espano. Okay, einan yotzin lechulin. Okay, the Mishnah says that we have kula mukdashim. Right, go back to the Mishnah, top of yudalam and aleph. So p'tur min abachor min amatans ve'einan yotzin lechulin ligazes ve'le'avig. You can't do work with it. You can't shear it. You can't work it. Vladan v'chelban aser. We'll come to that in just a moment. First of all, Tanu Rabbanan Tizbach v'lo giza. You have to shecht it. Meaning the Torah, it's the lav haba mechlal asei. Right? Positive commandment really derived from the, sorry, negative commandment derived really from the positive. The Torah says, when you have suleim mukdash, you basically have one action you could do with it. Shecht it. That's it. Tizbach v'lo giza. You can't shear it. Basar v'lo chalav. You can eat the meat of the animal, but you can't eat the milk of this animal. You can't milk it. V'achalta v'lo leklavecha. And finally, you have to eat it. Your dogs are not allowed to eat it. Mikan shein podin esakachim laha'achilan leklavim. And from here, we derive the halacha that if the only thing that's going to happen when I redeem it is feed it to my dogs, i.e., right, the animal's a treifa, i.e., the animal died without a shechita. And now, a question of redeeming it, you can't redeem it. Because the Torah says, va'achalta, you have to eat it, and not your dogs. Ika, the Amre, now the Gemara has another version of this discussion, which will lead us to a different conclusion. Tizbach va'achalta, ein lecha bahem heter achila, ela mishatz dvicha va'elach. From the point of zvicha, there is this requirement to eat. Ava podin es akachim la ha'achilan leklavim. But before you shech the animal, can you redeem it? This version says, yeah, you can redeem it. Ah, but you're going to redeem it, and what's going to happen? You're not going to be able to eat it because it didn't receive a proper shechita? Okay, so you give it to your dog. meaning this Tana is of the opinion, I don't know what to call it. It's a Tana, yeah, I guess it's a Tana, it's a Braisa. This version of the Braisa is of the opinion, you are allowed to redeem so that your dog can eat. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier this morning, he writes right here, the Gemara brings down a debate, can I redeem Psulei HaMukdashim if I'm not going to be the consumer, but the dog is going to be the consumer? The first version of the Braisa says, no, you cannot. Second version of the Braisa says, yes, you can. And the halacha follows, unsure, unclear. Vlad v'chal ban asur la'achar pijonam. Okay. You can't eat the fetuses of said animal. Okay? Let's go over the timeline quickly so that we're clear about eating the babies of this animal. Again, start off with a animal that I'm makdish. I sanctify this animal. It was perfect. It was unblemished. So now it's imbued with kedushas haguf. Okay. Then what happens is it develops a permanent blemish. At which point in time now I can't offer it as a carbon. I have the opportunity to redeem it. I redeem it. It now is psulei hamukdashin. It now has some sort of residual kedusha. We know. We just learned in the Gemara. You can't shear it. You can't milk it. According to one opinion of the Gemara, you can't feed it to your dogs. The only thing you could do is you could shecht it and you can eat it. We reported the psukim later, earlier this morning. You can eat it in a state of tumah. You can eat it wherever you want in Eretz Yisrael. Presumably even outside Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to eat it. Okay. That is your basic timeline. Now the Mishnah says, but you can't eat vladan. In other words, if this was a female karban and it has a baby, you can't eat the baby. Now later on we'll talk about what you do with the baby. But before we talk about that, let's really think about it. You can't eat the baby. When did this animal conceive? And when did this animal give birth? So let's see the Gemara. If everything happened after pigeon, which means that this animal was conceived, the baby was conceived, and it gave birth after you redeemed it. So then, we go back to the comparison. What does the Torah describe Psulei HaMukdashim? In what terms? Sviva Ayal. Now, if Sviva and Ayal have a baby, can you eat it? Of course. No question about it. Sviva Ayal also had a mother. Right? Of course you can eat it. So, and this animal, after it's redeemed, the Torah says, Sviva Ayal. Now, you understand, we spent Amud Aleph limiting the comparison. Not to say that you can eat the chelim. Not to say that the osav espino doesn't apply. We do limit the comparison. But you have a basic comparison. So if this animal if the baby was conceived and gave birth after your poder, should be fine. Ela di'i'avar lifnei pejonam v'isyalei l'achar pejonam. So the Gemara says the case of the Mishnah must be where it conceived before you redeemed it, and then it gave birth after you redeemed it. Okay, now we'll come back to that in just a moment. But let's go over, there's a third scenario. What if it conceived and gave birth before you were poded? Halif nepejonam?
Before the animal developed blemish or after?
The Gemara is not clear about that. It's a great question. The Gemara is really not clear about that. Halif nepejonam, let's say after it develops a blemish. Okay, just to make all these discussions similar.
So because at that time you could argue that the animal had its own kedusha.
Right. Understood. Halif nepejonam. I'm sorry. Halif nepejonam mikdash nami kodshe. The Gemara says, you know what? What if it had a baby before you were poded? That baby that comes out has kedusha. Now, in a moment, we'll talk about what degree of kedusha we're talking about. So minahani mila detana rabbanan. So the Gemara says, and you're going to see all this in a Braisa. So there are three scenarios that we just painted. Scenario number one, I'll go in the order of the Gemara. Scenario number one is where conception and birth takes place after your poda. Baby's totally mutter. Sviva ayal. Scenario number two is where the conception...
It's only for eating, though, nothing else. You cannot put it to work and not use it's like the same thing as the mother.
Let me think about that. Okay? I don't want to... Let me not respond so quickly. Scenario number two of the Gemara is that where it's conceived before you redeemed it, gave birth after you redeemed it. The Gemara says, Aser. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about, meaning that's the topic of discussion of our Mishnah. Okay, and we'll talk why later on. Why is it Aser? Okay, scenario number three, where it was conceived and it gave birth before you redeemed it, while the animal still had its Kedusha, and the baby's Kadosh. And in a moment, we'll talk about to what degree it's Kadosh. Okay, three separate scenarios. Tana Rabbanan. Zach l'rabos es avlad. Unekeva l'rabos es atamura. Gemara is quoting Pesukim. The Gemara is quoting Pesukim from... I was going to say that too. Paragimel. Right, Rashi. Third line down. Zach l'rabos es avlad gabi shlamim ksiv. Im zachar im nekeva tamim. If it's a male or if it's a female. So zachar l'rabos es avlad nekeva l'rabos es atamura. V'ein li ela vlad tamimim u'tamur es tamimim. Yeah, it's clear, by the way. It's talking about the baby of a balmum, of a blemished animal. So, vlad tamim v'tumor tamimim. Vlad bale momim, tumor bale momim, inayim, kishu omri im zach l'rabas vlad, bale momim, I'm sorry, l'rabas vlad bale momim. Im nekeva l'rabas tumor bale momim. Yes, even the fetus of a balmum is going to have kedusha. Also, vladu shalacha pijana matehe aleihem. Now, the vlados that are after you redeem it, what is the status with them? Now, lifnei pijonam mifleg pligi bahu. Iklamand amar kache lekarev. One position is, it's a karbon. Meaning, mom you can't offer on the mizbeach. But that's a technical problem. Mom's got a blemish. But mom still has kedusha. Mom still has kedusha saguf. So the baby that comes out, kedusha. Kedusha saguf. So baby can be offered on the mizbeach. Ikalamanda amr kache l'raya. And the second opinion is, no, baby that comes out has kedusha, but you can't offer it on the mizbeach. Because where is it coming from? Mom could not be offered on the mizbeach. So the child that comes out is basically same degree. Where it has kedusha saguf, but you can't offer it on the mizbeach.
We have this whole concept that since the fetus was tough, it could be more.
Right. But I guess the first opinion would be that mom, in theory, also could go on the mizbeach. It's just a technical problem. I know. Dela acher pidyon amateh aleihem. So, good. Okay. So that is scenario number, what was I saying? Scenario number one. Okay? Scenario number one, where conception and birth takes place before your poda, the baby that comes out has kedusha. To what degree? Debatable. Debated in the Gemara. One opinion is you can actually offer it as a karbon. Position number two is, no, you have to let it develop a blemish and redeem it. Gemara doesn't, I don't know. I didn't look up the Rambam, and I have no cues. The acher pidyon amateh aleihem. What about scenario number two? What about where it got pregnant while it had kedusha saguf, and then it gave birth after it redeemed it? So Amar Rav Huna konsan l'kipa v'hein meisin. Let it die. The baby has to die. Okay, kinisa l'kipa. Just I know it doesn't sound doesn't sound nice, but let's starve to death. Dehechi la'avid. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because what are you going to do? L'kravinu mikol kedusha d'chui ka'asu. Look, it was born from a mother that was redeemed already. So at its birth, where it's invested with its full kedusha, but mom wasn't a karbon. Mom was redeemed. So you can't offer it as a karbon. Lifrikinu, but just wait. Lifrikinu, so okay, so redeem it. So lo alime lemitfas pidyonam. So the Gemara says, redeeming means it has to have kedusha. Meaning the whole idea behind redemption is that it has kedusha that I could redeem. This baby that comes out is in limbo, right? Not enough kedusha to be offered on the mizbeach, not enough kedusha to redeem it, still has some degree of kedusha where I can't just simply eat it.
And you can't.
You're stuck. Huh? Ah, perfect. Aaron, next lines of the Gemara. Amri b'marav ha-mishmei d'Rabbi Chanina, smoch l'pidyonam, matfisim l'shem oso zevach. Before you redeem it. Now the Gemara first thinks we're talking about the baby. So smoch l'pidyonam, l'mem b'dibnei p'diyaninu, ela ema smoch l'pidyon iman. Okay, correction. right before you redeem mom, matfisam l'shem oso zevach. What you do is you point to the fetus inside and you say, I want to be makdish the fetus inside.
How could that be?
Davar shalom bala olam.
And you also don't know the gender. So how could you makdish it if you don't?
Well, you could call it a shlamim. You could call it a shlamim. Shlamim will apply to both male and female. Your first question, same thing bothered me.
The fetus has some kedusha because it was conceived when the
mother had kedusha. Well, you can't have abortion in the baby.
Right, right. So matfisam l'shem oso zevach. Tam amai amar Rabbi Levi. Now, time am I, okay? And why? Meaning, what's the issue? Mom, the baby was conceived while mom was kadosh. But then again, let's assume that this all happened while after the mother got her blemish. But still, mom's kadosh, and then birth takes place after mom was redeemed. What's the issue? Amar Blevi Xerisham Yigadol Behem Adar Madarim. You'll see this a number of times come up. Because if we were to say that the baby was okay, so that would be motivation, strong motivation that you're going to want to keep mom around for a while. Because, mom can have babies and the babies would be okay. And that would generate the idea that people would want to make flocks and flocks of these animals. And remember, the limited what you could do with it, Psula Hamukdashin. The only thing you can do with it is you can eat it. You can't shear it. You can't work it. If you let it linger around, you may end up shearing it. You may end up working it. You may end up milking it. So the Chachamim did a number of stopgap measures to basically ensure, you know what? You just eat it. If it gives birth to a child, we're going to say regarding the child should die. Again, sounds cruel, right? Right, but the Chachamim, if the Chachamim find a purpose to do that, i.e., they want you to basically eat the mother as soon as possible, okay, they'll do it. Okay, we talked about right before you redeem the mother, if mother is pregnant with a fetus inside, what's the solution? Imbue that baby with Kedusha. Can you choose? Can you choose which carbon it's going to be? Amalei ain matfisa in my time. Amalei gamar b'sharecha b'sharecha mebechor. My bechor in matfisa l'chol zevach shiyur tzedich zivach bechor. Asher v'kala Hashem. Ba'behema lo yakdish isho so. Afhani ain matfisa l'chol zevach shiyur tzedich. Answer? No, you can't. It's like bechor. By bechor, when the bechor comes out of its mother. You know it's going to be a karban. Can you say, you know what, I'm not really interested in bechor. Let's call it a chatas. I know that's strange. Right, let's call it a carbon todah. Okay, you can't do that. In other words, you can't do that by bechor. Similarly, over here, if you're going to be makdish the fetus inside the mother, and mother was a carbon, you cannot redirect it. You cannot reassign it to a different type of carbon.
Even if you do, nothing would happen.
Huh? Presumably, it would not be affected. Okay, Tanya Kavasa de Rav Sheshis, and then the Gemara quotes a Brisa like Rav Sheshis. Let's do this quickly. All right, we're familiar with basically most of the points made in the Brisa, but the reason why we're quoting this lengthy Brisa is simply to accentuate that Rav Sheshis is correct. You cannot reassign the baby. Kachem Shekana Mum Kavua Lahekdesham Beniftu. If it had a Mum Kavua first, and then you were Maktashit. So again, only value Kedusha. Kedusha is Damim. Chayavim bebechor veMatanus bein lifnei pejanam bein lacher pejanam. Hagoz v'va'over v'ha'oved b'hem ein osofik asar b'im. You could shear it, you could work it. Bein lifnei pejanam bein lacher pejanam. Ein osin tamur cannot affect tamur because it's not a carbon. V'lifnei pejanam mo'alin b'hen. Before you redeem it, me'ila, property of the base of mikdash. U'lacher pejanam ein mo'alin b'hen. After you redeem it, no me'ila. It's almost just like the Mishnah. It's more expansive. V'la'adosem chol. Any child that produces is chulin, viniftin tamimim, and it can be redeemed even tamim. Umatfisin lechol zevach shiyirtse, and you can assign it for any carbon that you want. But remember, this only has kedushas damim. Of course, you can assign it to every carbon you want. Kol shodaver harehin kuchulin chol divreim ein lecha bahem ela mitzvas ilui belvad. The only thing to do is to redeem it, because it only has kedushas damim. Aval, however. Second half of the Braisa, Kedushas HaGuf. kadam ekdeshem es mum over leg deshem lachem ikan nolad mehem mum kavua v'niftu. What if a kedusha saguf had developed a blemish and you redeemed it? Now, number one, p'turim min habachor min hamatanos. Why? Because of the comparison to tzviva ayal. Bein lefnei pijonan bein lachar pijonan. Hagoz is va'ovid behem sofek et zarabarim bein lefnei pijonan bein lachar pijonan. You can't shear it, you can't work it. Osin tamura, it can affect tamura, but that's of course only lifnei pijonan, before you redeem it. After you redeem it, it's not a carbon. Residual kedusha, but it's not a carbon. Mo'alan behen. And there's a din me'ila. Lachar pijonan ein mo'alan behen. After your poda, there's no din me'ila. Vladosehem kodesh. This is the whole reason why we brought in the Braisa. The children, or the fetuses of such animal are holy. They ain't niftin tamimim, and they cannot be redeemed. The ain matfisa lechol zevach sheyirtza, and you cannot reassign it to any carbon that you want, but rather you can only invest it with the kedusha of its mother. Klal shel davar, the reisha lasuye shoch the mechutz de pater. In the reisha, when we said klal shel davar, it means that if I shecht it outside the base of mikdash, it's not shchut echutz. Of course not. It's not a carbon. Klal shel davar de seifa lasuye chelbo, and the klal shel davar de seifa is to include the chabo, the milk which is going to be asa. Okay, good. Stop over here.